Sorry for getting emotional here for a minute. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to come stand here. You know, I have to say something this morning because I believe God's speaking to me, so I'm going to pass it on. Shepherding and pastoring at times can be the hardest thing in the whole world. And here's what I mean. At times I sense your hurts. I sense what's going on in your lives, and it's a weight sometimes that in my own strength would be overbearing. And that's the times that I trust God to help me through them times. But as I was sitting here this morning, I sensed your love towards me back. And I just want to tell you, I appreciate it. Father, as we go to your word, I sense what you're doing. I sense what you have done, and I just want to say thank you. As we go to your word this morning, I'm asking you to give strength, encouragement. I'm asking you, Lord God, to open our hearts for what you have for us, that you would be glorified in everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, just give me 1 second here. Take a moment to look at the miracle of Jesus' birth. And I really believe that for us to fully understand that this morning, that you have to look at the birth of Jesus Christ as your own personal miracle. I believe that, you know, a loving God that would leave heaven, a loving God that would love us enough to, in his miraculous way, provide a means of salvation for us is more than our brains could comprehend at a moment without God doing it. And I believe to doubt that or to question his birth is to doubt that Jesus really loves you. And you to really fully grab that miracle of what he did, you need to sense that God loves you. You need to sense that he would do that just for you. Otherwise, I believe that it would just be a Sunday school lesson. It would just be a story that was told. As great as the Christmas story is, it would just be a story if you couldn't make it personal, if you couldn't make it your story. Isaiah records that therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel translated means God with us, and Christ translated means the anointed one. So really when we're looking at this, we're saying the anointed one has come to be with us. The anointed one has come to provide for us. And, you know, we read the Christmas story a lot of times. When you're in your devotionals, I believe you get to Luke chapter 2 and in Matthew where it talks about the Christmas story, you just race through it because it's not December. And sometimes we need to just take a look. So most of the time as a pastor, you go back to those Christmas verses. But I'm saying to you this morning, don't take advantage of that and don't take it for granted, because really, Christmas should be every day. Every day we should be thankful. So I'm asking you to turn to Luke chapter 1. I want to read a few verses this morning, starting at verse 26, really looking at the birth foretold of Jesus Christ. Looking at verses 26 over to verse 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Mary, this innocent virgin selected to be the mother that would birth Jesus, was told to name this child Jesus. And her response, and I wonder what your response would be, her response back to God, "May your word to me be fulfilled." She was afraid. It wasn't the norm, but she realized that it was a God moment. And listen to this as she moves, I believe, from her faith to a living faith, from being curious on what God is doing to transformational. Reading from verse 39 over to 45. "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zacharias's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?' As soon as the sound of her greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. 'Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her.'" You know what I say this morning? Maybe we need to ask a different question. Maybe we need to ask this morning, do you believe in miracles? Maybe that's the question that you need to ask yourself as you're reading the Christmas story. Maybe whatever circumstance you're going through right now, maybe you need to ask yourself, do you believe in miracles? We know babies come in all sizes and shapes and many different weights and lengths, but there was only one that came by way of virgin birth. There was only one that came by the power of the Holy Spirit. And my question is, do you believe that? Because that's a miracle. Supernatural birth that God himself had announced, wrote down in his word ahead of time, and made it happen. Mark Batterson puts it this way: "Don't seek miracles, follow Jesus. And if you follow Jesus long enough and far enough, you'll eventually find yourself in the middle of some miracles." That's good stuff, ain't it? That's good stuff. Augustine says this: "I never have any difficulty believing in miracles since I experienced the miracle of a change in my own heart." So if you're really going to understand a miracle, your prayer ought to be first, do I believe in a miracle? If the answer is yes, you ought to be praying to God that you could experience your own miracle, that you could experience and see some of the things that God is doing. I make no apologies. I believe in miracles. I believe that God does supernatural things for the people that He loves, and that God cares enough for us and wants to be involved in our lives, and in His caring and wanting to be involved, He will do supernatural things. See, I don't believe that if you lost your keys in your basement and you find them a year later, that that's a miracle. Maybe when you find them, you grab them, oh, praise the Lord. Well, you can praise the Lord, but that's probably not a miracle, because what that is you found them where you left them. And I really believe that if you said that same thing and when you lost your keys, Lord, would you help me find my keys, and you immediately found them, I don't believe that's a miracle. I believe that's an answer to prayer. See, a miracle is something that's supernatural, that you really can't explain, that you know that God did it. Otherwise, it's a circumstance. I believe in prayer. I believe in miracles. I believe God wants to get involved in our lives. I believe if you look at the Bible, I believe there's 9 miracles that just jump out at you. I'm sure there's more, but there's 9 that kind of are in the forefront when you look at the Gospels especially. And Jesus walking on water is a miracle. And if you don't believe me, try it. In fact, let me know when you're going to try that, because I would like to be there. And I think healing somebody that is terminally ill, where the doctors have no answers, is a miracle. And I believe even when Jesus turned the water into wine, that was supernatural. And we had a discussion at Celebrate Recovery this week about wine and water and the quality of the water and why they had the wine. But don't miss all of that to understand that this was a miracle that happened. Jesus did it. He didn't wait for it to ferment. If it would have fermented, it wouldn't have been a miracle. Jesus coming in human form to a virgin is a miracle. You cannot explain it away any other way. It's explainable only because God said it ahead of time, wrote it down, told us what was going to happen, and then made it happen. And it was witnessed by people that recorded it. Now, I do know that there's so many people today that say, why could you and why would you believe in a miracle in a scientific age? Because I believe God is not bound by any boundaries. He's not bound by our thinking. He's not bound by time or space or anything else involved there. In fact, truth is, I really believe, and I have a problem with Christians that don't believe in miracles. I have a problem with Christians that don't believe in the virgin birth. I have problems with Christians that don't believe that God could, if He chooses to, instantly heal someone. I have a problem with people and Christians that would believe that there is no such thing as a baptism in the Holy Spirit. I have a problem with Christians that struggle that a supernatural God wants to dwell in the people that He loves. See, I have a problem with that because it doesn't line up with God's word. I have a problem with those that want to mock or put into their own explanations of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, because I believe that would limit God to be able to do something only in our abilities. Aren't you glad that you don't serve a God that's limited to your own abilities? Your own thinking? Your foresight? All of these things that would be, I believe, to put a God in that kind of a box is a God that would be so limited. And to me, those people that do that have no idea what a miracle really is. When you live in a day and age when you see pastors and theologians and churches trying to explain away the miracles of the Bible, and some they dismiss as totally unproven, or they just totally dismiss it, is unthinkable to me. But I would tell you this. If I attended a church like that, I wouldn't be there very long. I would be out the door. I would not stay there. I would be attending somewhere where not only did they believe what God did, but I need to be in a church where God is still doing something. Not, oh, there's the good old days when God did this and God did that. I want to be in a church that still believes that God is able to do miracles today, desires to do miracles today, and would stand up and give God praise when he did it. There's some that would say that the miracles of the Bible were only events that amazed the ignorant people. That's their thoughts. Let me give you my theological viewpoint of that. That's hogwash. It stinks. These people preach a different gospel than I see in the Bible. Sermon illustration that I found talks about a father that asked his son, "What did you learn in Sunday school?" The little boy said this. Let me just read this little paragraph. He said, "We learned how Moses went behind enemy lines to rescue the Jews from the Egyptians. Moses ordered engineers to build a pontoon bridge over the Red Sea. After the people crossed, he sent bombers back to blow up the bridge and the Egyptian tanks that were following them." Did your teacher really say that, son? "No, but if I really told you what she said, you probably wouldn't believe me." When it comes to biblical miracles, I think a lot of people, they don't believe. So they make up their own story. So here's my thought. I know time's getting away. I have two things. The miracle birth of Jesus is this. If you're writing it down, it's miraculous. You can't explain it by man's logic. You can't try to go, well, male, female, you know, and then try to put this complicated puzzle together and try to make it work. When the bottom line is God spoke it into existence by the power of the Holy Spirit. He spoke into existence himself into a womb. And you know how I justify that? God said, "My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And when I look at it that way, I say, amen. Amen, Lord. Just like he said, "Let it be." And there was light. And there was oceans. And there was animals. And he took this earth that was void and had no use and gave it purpose. Because God looked at it and he spoke it into existence, is the same way that I believe the virgin birth. See, I don't know. I couldn't make the earth with a purpose if it was void. I can't make animals. I believe God is the only one that can do these things. Webster defines a miracle as an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. Why somebody would be easier to believe in the Big Bang Theory? I have no idea. That they would believe and have no problem believing that a gobbledygook got on a rock, was heated up, and suddenly had purpose, intelligence, and everything else. I have a hard time believing that, rather than a God that loves you, created you. And then there's some, I believe that miracles are magical. And I'm kind of that way, because I don't need to understand everything about a miracle. All I need to understand is that if it wouldn't happen without God, I believe that's a miracle. And, you know, I think I'm an intelligent person. Just ask me. There's one saying that goes that sometimes I talk to myself because I need to talk to somebody intelligent. So just ask me. I think I am. And I think, and I have a problem with some that say that science eliminates some of God's miracles. I believe it proves some of God's miracles. And I believe in a higher power. I believe his name is Jesus Christ. We talk about that at Celebrate Recovery too. One of the things that you want to show someone that has hurts, habits, and hang-ups is that there is a higher power, and we know his name. His name is Jesus, and that he cares about us. I believe miracles are going to be different for each one of us, because we're at different spots and journeys. We've gone through different things. And I really can't expect someone that's never experienced a miracle to understand it until they would receive it. And my prayer would be that they would experience a miracle. And I have to say this morning, and I don't mean to embarrass her, because I actually thought that she wouldn't be here this morning, but I believe Darlene Stiffer is a miracle. I believe it with all my heart that God several times have saw in his goodness to minister to her. I think the mass that they took out of me in 2001 that they couldn't explain, and they couldn't understand how it was encased, and how they couldn't understand that it wasn't cancerous but was precancerous, was a miracle. It's the only way I can put it. And if it wasn't, it's my miracle, and I'm still hanging on to it. Because I can't explain it. They couldn't give me answers for it. And I believe that this pastor standing before you has a past that I know in my mind. There were several times as a kid doing the wrong things at the wrong time and in the wrong places and should have died. And didn't, is God's miracles. Because all you would have heard about is violence in Milwaukee. Another life taken with violence in Milwaukee. So here's my thought this morning. If you haven't experienced one of God's miracles, be praying. And the other side of that is be sensitive, because I believe he has. Maybe you just didn't see it. Or maybe you have forgotten it. Because a lot of times what happens is we miss the miracle, because in our time of trouble we see God do something and we say thank you and we move on. And we don't remember what miracle that God had just did. And the second part of that is the miracle of Jesus Christ is what mankind needed. Scripture tells us, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And I'm shortening it up this morning, but what miracle are you looking for? And are you brave enough this morning to look in the manger and see that God wants to provide a miracle for you? The Bible tells us that the wise men had to go hunt for him. And the shepherds, once they saw what God was doing, said, let's go see what thing God is doing here. Because they recognized it as a God moment. Abraham Lincoln says, I have been driven many times upon my knees for the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Anybody else besides Abraham Lincoln and me? Been driven to our knees because we've been overwhelmed by what's going on in our lives. My own wisdom and that of all about me seem insufficient for that day. He is the miracle that you need most. Scripture tells us you will not have to fight this battle. Aren't you glad when you get the peace of God when you're amidst something that is overwhelming and God gives you this peace? You don't have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you. Only God can give you a miracle, and they happen every day. And if anybody tells you that God is out of the miracle business, run, Forrest, run. And I mean that. You have to put yourself in a position to receive a miracle. And you need to be looking for a miracle to happen. You need to be looking at the right person for the miracle. And his name is Jesus. If you will keep your eyes on Jesus, you will see God do miracles. In your life, in your family, in your church, in your community, in your workplace, God does some good work. Say amen to that this morning. Father, we're grateful for your goodness. Father, I take a moment because for some, we instantly just think of the good things, the things that you've done, and that we really would just classify that as a miracle. Sometimes we just need our minds stirred to remember what good things you've done. This morning I pray for those and some that may be sitting here this morning and you're saying, well, I'm waiting for my miracle. I encourage you this morning to put your trust in Jesus Christ and allow the miracle of Jesus Christ to work and change you and your circumstance. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power that was given us by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, take your authority this morning as a child of God. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.